and welcome back to Chatting Rabbis. This is Eliezer Zalmanov in Munster, Indiana. I'm losing count of what episode number this is, but we're well along in our 20s, upper 20s for season 2.
Mendy Chitrik from Istanbul, Turkey. So you say it is Madura Tinyona Krach Chof.
Or something like that, 26, 27, I have to look it up soon. But it's good to see you, Mendy, even though you look a little bit different than you normally do. I see you
yes.
Lying in bed.
I'm lying in bed. I have some minor, what should I say, health issues that forced me to be in the hospital for a few days this week. But Baruch Hashem, everything is fine. I hope that to be out of here by tomorrow. Some complications coming together, but everything will be fine by tomorrow. Mitzvah Hashem, so be getting out of here. You could, I guess, hear it also from my voice.
Yes, and last week you mentioned that you were dealing with some asthma. So hopefully you have a complete refuah shleima, complete recovery, and you're back to yourself. But as I mentioned to you earlier this week, you shouldn't have to go to a hospital, but it's good for once in a while for everyone to have a little vacation from life and to just sit and have time to be with yourself and not have to deal with the outside world.
Yeah, but you know, it's not really a vacation when you're cooped in a room and you're sort of being a little bit claustrophobic. At least I have two windows, but that's it's not so much fun. Plus, I had a lot of really a lot of work to be done this week, scheduled meetings and production of kosher cheese and a whole bunch of stuff, and everything was just pushed off for next week. Hopefully be able to do it, so then it makes the workload for next week to be double, but then whatever, part of life.
Better and stronger next week.
So
since you had a lot of time to you're with yourself and in your own mind, what's on your mind?
Starting the camp season. I think that we spoke about camps before. And everybody's preparing for camp. We might have spoken about camp costs. I think we spoke about it last year, did we? And if we didn't, we should definitely speak about it sometime this year. But I'm asking you about how do you prepare your kids for camp?
In what sense? Psychologically? Gashmi is materially buying them the blankets and the towels and the underwear and the bathing suits.
No, not speaking about buying blankets, towels, bathing suits, and hiking shoes. No, that's not. I'm sure that you take care of that as well. But that's not Chatting Rabbi should be talking about. But I'm asking about how do you prepare your kids for camp? Listen, I had some mixed experiences in camp, not myself, but my kids. Some of my kids, I mean, I remember one of my kids in the age of 6 or 7 sent him already for overnight camp because he really, really wanted to. He actually had a great time. Not sure, but that was the right thing to do. But the question is, how do you prepare your kids to go to camp in a sense of making sure that they are well taken care of? Listen. When they're at home, or even if they are in yeshiva, they're 13 years old, who are given into the custody, so to speak, of people who have some experience, have kids of their own, the people of integrity, people who know what they're doing. And still we have this constant contact with the people who are responsible for our kids. But when we send our kids here to overnight camps and their counselors are, 17 years old, 18 years old?
Something like that, yeah.
Learning teachers are 19 years old, 18, 19 years old. How do you prepare your kids? Are you in touch with the counselors as much as you're in touch with the teachers?
You know, I think that today, meaning in today's day and age, in 2023, parents are a lot more involved than perhaps our parents were when we went to camp, or at least when I went to camp. Not knocking my parents, God forbid, or anything at all, but there's just a lot more awareness of what could potentially be go wrong. what the potential harms and damages can be when you entrust your child to, like you say, basically other children. So yes, there are adults supervising the camp, but even the adult supervising, so say there's one or two directors, and then there's the head counselors who are a little bit older than the regular campers, but than the regular counselors, but the head counselors themselves are also what, the 21, 22, 23. And we know today that today in our 40s, 20s is not all that old, it's not all that mature. So yes, today parents are a lot more aware of the potential pitfalls that can occur in camp if there isn't proper oversight. And I think the camps are aware of that also, and the camps do their best to provide that type of oversight. And by say do their best, could they do better? Maybe they could do better, but at least the awareness is there.
And I'm asking also, today, more than before, or at least with more, we know more than before, there are issues of abuse.
All right. So you say there, yeah, and you're right. There are issues of abuse that, again, in the past, people were blissfully unaware. And once it comes to light and you become aware of it, you can't ignore it. And I think camps have done what they can to avoid and prevent these kinds of things. But like you say, it's an imperfect system.
So I'm not speaking about the system, which I'm not that much involved. The question is about how much are we as parents, and also our listeners, so many of them, or I could even say most of them, are Chabad Shluchim who are listening to our conversation while they're driving the kids to school or back. How much of them are aware, involved, and know where and what conditions and what type of environment their kids are going to spend in the next 2 months. And these 2 months can be very, very crucial. And it's not only 2 months out of the year. It's 2 months times 24 hours, which comes out to be 6 months if you
If you're comparing it to
make
school.
if you compare it to school year. Or maybe more if you include Shabbos, Sunday, Fridays.
Right.
And that is something that I was thinking about today. I have three kids, four kids going to camp now this year. And I was thinking to myself, do I know who are their counselors? Do I know who are their teachers? Do I know who are their friends? What is the environment that is going to be? What is the, with us as parents who try to instill in our kids a certain education, outlook on life, Hasidic life, Jewish life. Sometimes a word from an adult so can really make a big change.
Or at least a perceived
And
adult.
when that is exactly what was my next sentence. So when you're sending to a yeshiva or to the school, first of all, you know who is that adult. And usually that adult, even if he's younger than you, he's still an adult with some experience at least. And he has a structure of what he should be following. And you actually choose the school in accordance to who are the adults. And you know who is the person responsible. And you trust his instincts and knowledge and understanding and seichel to bring the right people. In camp, the oversight is, I assume, I don't know, definitely in my times, is much less than in school.
Yeah, but today there's a lot of learning that learning meaning advancement in what in awareness. Like I was saying that yes, in our time there was very little oversight. The kids were there was a little oversight here or there. But you brought up the concept of abuse. Camps are very much aware of that. So there is training, as far as I know. There is awareness, but going back to what our what we do as parents, so on one hand you don't want to over exaggerate the potential. Like you don't want the kid the whole day in camp to be worried about someone saying something or doing something to him, because the these events, as horrible as they are few and far between. It's not rampant. It doesn't. That's not happening all the time. You don't want the kid's whole camp experience to be clouded with this. With this in the front of his mind. At the same time, we tell our children, without getting into too much details, but we do tell them that if anyone, camp counselor, other campers say or do anything to you personally that makes you uncomfortable, you should right away go to a head staff or to the camp director and bring it up. There's no brushing it under the rug. Now, you don't have to go into the specifics of what potential abuse could happen, but if you feel uncomfortable, if there's something that is happening to you, someone doing something to you, yeah, and yes, there could be the potential for false alarms when you're vague like that. But at the same time, I think that it's worked. And Baruch Hashem, my children have not have had any of those types of negative experiences in camps. So I don't know how
That you
perfectly it
know
works.
of.
That, well, I know of. Our kids are fairly honest with us, at least, again, as far as we know. But usually, and again, I'm not an expert in this, and perhaps experts want to weigh in. Usually, when a child is abused, under the in the unfortunate situation that a child is abused, there are usually telltale signs, and parents need to be aware of it, and educators and teachers need to be attuned to picking up the signs. For the most part, I think our kids are pretty well adjusted. And again, I'm not saying that 100%, but I believe that to be the case.
Right, and I think that that is also it's something which is so important for us as parents and for anybody to tell our kids that if anybody tells you, and that is something I keep on if any, telling my kids before they go to camp, if anybody in camp, whether it's a friend or an adult, tells you that they want to tell you something or do something that you shouldn't tell to anybody else, that is the first red flag that you have to run away from.
That's a very good way to put it. And secrets are where all the problems begin. And abusers, pedophiles, and so on, they thrive on secrecy. Nobody wants to get caught. So that's like you're right. That's a very first good indication that there's a problem when someone is telling you to keep something quiet and secret.
Right, so if anybody tells you that's between us and don't tell it to your parents or don't tell it to the counselor or don't tell it to the, that is something that you should run away from. And the first thing that they should do is go tell the counselor or the head counselor that someone has offered you something like that. But with all that and with the awareness that we try to instill in our kids that nobody should touch any parts of their bodies and that they should keep a certain distance, and that they should be careful of things that might happen to them.
And
At the
also
same
and
time,
also, by the way, be sure that they're not the ones that
and
are
that
doing it.
of course that's it goes both ways, and they should be to teach them all these things. Together with that, I think somehow maybe it's even the responsibility of the camp to tell the parents or to put the counselor and the learning teacher in touch with the parents.
So the camps that my children go to now require the counselors, at least the last few years, on the first day of camp, the counselor themselves call us. Each one on his or her own sends gives us a phone call, says, "Hi, I'm your son, I'm your daughter's counselor. This is my name, this is my number, and if you ever need to reach out, here's where to find me."
That's really beautiful. That's something that I have not come across in the camps that I send my kids to. I'm not going to disclose which camps I do send my kids to. So, but it's not something that has come across the camps that I send my kids to. But it may, if it doesn't happen by itself, as it happens in the camps that you send your kids to, then you should reach out to the camp, to the counselors, to the head counselors. And especially if there are things of concern, especially if there's your kid needs attention or something at a certain point, and every kid needs some sort of attention. So while the teacher is more attuned to such things, has more experience in education, learned how to teach and what to do to others, Counselors, young counselors, are not.
They're learning on the job.
Yeah, they might become good teachers.
Yeah, I know from my own experience as a counselor and a learning teacher in camp that the experience there taught me that I don't want to do this for a living full time. Leave the
Yeah.
education, leave the education field to those that are experts and those that enjoy doing it and have a better knack at it. I did it because that's what everybody did. But looking back, there are probably people that would have been a lot better at taking care and watching these children and teaching these children for the month or two that they were in camp. And hopefully, anybody that was a camper of mine didn't have a horrible summer because I wasn't good at what I was doing. But I think most of us that are counselors and staff members in camp only learn the real way to do it much later on in life.
Yeah, I did not like to be a counselor. I was a counselor once or twice and I didn't like it. I was a learning teacher, the rest of the things, so whatever. Not my thing. I was at a time, but I already told you long ago that I'm not an educator. I left education to my parents.
We're all educators in the sense that we're educating our own children and we hope to do the best. And that's something that we really have no choice. Once you have children, it really is up to you. You can't pawn them off to others. As much as we hire teachers and yeshivas and schools and seminaries to educate our children, but at the end of the day, the real education comes at home. And that's why when we, when, like you said, when we send them to camp, it's up to us in advance to prevent these kinds of things from happening and for the children to be aware and educated. Yes, educated. We educate them at home so that they can go out into the world and have the tools necessary to survive and to thrive in the world.
Exactly. So our kids are going to have a great time in camp. I'm just saying that we should be prepared and we should also make sure that the great time that they're going to have in camp will be educational, will help to build their character, and not only help to build their character socially, but also help to build their character intellectually, honestly, in Hasidus, in learning. And everything else. It shouldn't be a place to that will that will it should be a place that should add to the rest of the year and shouldn't be a place where a decrease comes from. That's all I want to say.
Right, and then when the Rebbe established the original Camp Gan Yisrael, he said that the purpose of it is to be doing the same things that you do all year in school, at home, in yeshiva, but in a more casual environment, and that makes you enjoy it more and have a better feeling for it. And you can't be in camp all year because then you don't know what real structure is like. So you need to
At the
have that
same time, I
balance.
should also mention that the Rebbe did not want the schools to close for the summer.
Right, camp was just a filling a vacuum. Because the 2 months of vacation existed, then here's an opportunity to take children off the street, so to speak, and keep them in a framework of kedusha, of holiness. But be that as it may, whatever it ends up being, if kids are on vacation and they're roaming the streets, a better place for them to be is in camp than anywhere else. Whether it's 1 month, whether it's 2 months, whether it's 3 weeks, as it is in Israel and many other places now. But giving the children an opportunity to be in a holy environment in a more casual atmosphere at the same time makes it a lot more accessible to them. Now, the qu question is also if whether the camps were originally intended for from children that go to regular yeshivas and schools all year, or in the 50s, where most American Jewish children were in public school and the camp was geared to them. But that's a different discussion, a different argument. The bottom line is the camps exist. Our children are going to the camps, and the camps have adapted now to a more frum clientele. And in Chabad, the camps have adapted to a more Hasidic environment and clientele. So we hope that they get the most out of their experience there, and all the warnings and the preempting that we do will be unnecessary. But it's better for it to be unnecessary than for it to be in retrospect, we should have done it.
Right. So you live closer to where camps are running, so you have better information. I drop off my kids or send my kids to camp, and I go back to a faraway place, to Turkey. My kids are one of those kids who usually don't even have a visitors on visiting day.
We don't live next to any camps, and our kids also don't have any visitors on visiting day, but it's closer than Turkey. At least geographically,
Closer than
it
Turkey.
feels a little bit closer, yeah.
From my perspective, definitely looks much closer.
Yeah, no, it is closer geographically, and in the mind it's also closer, even though Asach helped us.
Yeah, but still, So you, but you definitely do know much better what's going on in camps. I still have the same image at that of camp as I had when I was there, and that was a catastrophe. I mean, I was a 15-year-old, 16-year-old who was sent to be a counselor for kids who were 10 years old, or not 10, or 11 years old, and I had zero idea what I was doing. And you are given responsibility. Thinking back, given you're a 12 year, you're 16 or 17, you're given responsibility to 15 kids who are not much younger than you. At the time, you really thought that you're much much older than them, but they're really not much younger, and you have responsibility for them, not for an hour and not for 2 hours, but for almost 24 hours.
Right.
It's a little scary now as a parent that I'm sending my kids to such an environment.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said before, even the 20-year-old as the head counselor is also a child.
Yeah, exactly. And the punishments that there that were given at the time, I hope they don't happen either. We'll talk about it at another occasion.
Yeah, I once had a conversation about with one of our a friend of mine who was at the time a head counselor when I was a camper. So he's probably 10 years older than me, but now we're friends. And I was discussing with him the punishments that he gave me as a camper back then. You couldn't believe that he did it. But for another conversation.
Right. It is when you sometimes it happens that kids, at the end of the day, kids, people who are given the power and they think that they are able to control, and they don't understand at times the damage that they cause and what has to be undone after a summer. It's also something that happens.
Right. But ending off always on a good note, on a happy note. Hopefully the kids have a good time. Hopefully they come back reinvigorated and re-inspired and excited. That's the main thing. And
Keep your eyes open.
yes, definitely keep your eyes open and be aware. Mandy, I wish you again a Rafua Shalema. Take care of yourself, stay healthy, and we'll talk next week.
Take care.